Everyone please rise. Court is in session.
Hi, it's Judge Jeanine Pirro, and I want to invite you all to check out my brand new podcast, Due Process with Judge Jeanine. I've got the background and experience to bring you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Join me and my co-host, Terry Trespicio, as we cover the hottest legal stories and breaking news. And remember, you do have the right to an attorney, and I'm giving you your due process. So be sure to download Due Process with me, Judge Jeanine Pirro, every Monday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Coming to you live back in my apartment, it's
Rob has a podcast, and now here's a man who has recently been recognized by Pope Francis for his efforts in recycling jokes. Rob Cesperino, hello everybody, and welcome back to our Amazing Race recap here for episode number 2 of Amazing Race 27, and we're very excited to talk about this. Thought it was a fun episode tonight. Looks like we're getting some conflict on the Amazing Race, and I think that's always key when we're talking about good Amazing Race. And here with me to break it down, a person that I saw as recently as Wednesday night. Here she is, the great Haymaker Hattie, Jessica Leese.
Wow, Rob, it's been so long.
Yes, I see you're wearing an Argentina soccer jersey today.
Yeah, I am indeed.
Yes, very nice, very appropriate.
Argentina.
Was that a coincidence? Were you wearing that and then they happened to go to Argentina on the Amazing Race tonight?
Nothing in life is a coincidence, Rob.
There are no coincidences. That's what M. Night Shyamalan has told me.
I have a Brazil one somewhere, too, but I couldn't find it for last week. So I thought at least I'll get it in this week.
Okay. Jess, very excited to talk to you about tonight's Amazing Race. I think it was a very fun episode, but very sad to see the cousins go, Jess. Not the cousins.
I really liked those guys. They had such a great attitude about everything, and they were so excited to be there. Like, that's just really not the team you ever want to see go out so early.
Yeah, I really feel like they were, on paper, they were really like the fan favorite this season, and they had a really good attitude. What did they do wrong? What happened? What broke the wrong way for them?
Well, that was the thing. Like, they didn't seem like they were in any real danger up until that very last few minutes, and it looked like it might have just been down to cabs and like finding the right entrance to the polo grounds. And, you know, they weren't great on the roadblock, but I thought that they were going to pull out, you know, a 9th or 10th place.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about
9th place. Sorry.
We'll talk about all of it here tonight on our Amazing Race Wrap Up Show. We've got our chat room back here on robisthewebsite.com. Plus, Scott St. Pierre is behind the scenes. He is going to be pulling your tweets, hashtag RHAP. Plus, also on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube, we'll also be taking your comments. And Jess, we have recently also uploaded the video of our live Know-It-Alls event, which we did back in New York. Caroline's on Broadway. Very fun night. Got to meet so many listeners of the podcast, or see so many familiar faces, the listeners of the podcast, this past Wednesday night. So a lot of fun was had by most.
By most.
I can't speak for everybody, but it
Rob,
seemed like
did someone
it.
Not have fun? Because I will go find that person and I will make them have fun.
Yeah. I don't know. From what I've heard, everybody, if anybody didn't have fun, they haven't told me. They've kept it a secret.
Okay, good.
Yeah. All right. So, Jess, let's get into talking about everything here tonight. By the way, let me just take care of a little bit of housekeeping. So our Amazing Race exit interviews, I believe, are scheduled to get off the ground this week. No exit interview after episode number 1, apparently, and it wasn't just with us, Team TMZ decided to abstain from doing exit press for the Amazing Race.
Well, Rob, I have to say I'm relieved that it wasn't just us, because that's always my fear when someone doesn't do exit press, that, you know, we've managed to piss them off somehow. But in this case, I think they're just pissed off at everybody.
Either that, or they just did not care enough to do it. I sense that that is the thing. Like, what are we going to go talk about here? We were on one episode of this show. What do we care?
Yeah. And I don't blame them. I think if I was the first team out, I would not be keen to do exit press either.
Yeah, I think it comes with the territory, but again, I don't think that they really care them. I think this was just sort of like a crazy thing that they decided to do. And ultimately, no exit press there, but we are scheduled to speak with the Cousins. And again, unless I hear anything, we're scheduled to talk to them on Monday. So hopefully I'll have that podcast up for you guys on Monday night, our exit interview with the Cousins. So that's what's coming up. Also, Jess, this past week, talked with one of the original winners of the Amazing Race, Brennan Swain.
I did, and that was a fantastic chat. He was just, he had so much great stuff to say. He's been following the show since its inception, and he has never really fallen off of that. So this guy knows everything, and he had a lot of great thoughts. So if you guys haven't heard that, you should really check it out.
All right, Jess, I've told you what I thought about this episode tonight. I thought it was a really strong episode after a week one where I felt like, for the most part, everybody kind of got along. I feel like we've got some conflict brewing between Team Texas and the Green Team, which is going to be, I think, an interesting backdrop to this season, because I don't think either of those teams are going anywhere soon. Could be a real heavyweight fight between those two teams coming down the stretch. What was your take on tonight's episode?
I thought the conflict seemed like it kind of came out of nowhere. That was a little bit strange to me, and I hope we get a little bit of backstory on it at some point. If it's going to be a major plot point this season, I don't want it to just be one of these, like, Abby Maria situations where somebody decides they don't like someone just out of nowhere and is like, I don't like that person, I got to get rid of them.
They remind them of somebody from their other season. No, I think that there's something about Justin. I think that Justin sort of gives off this vibe of, I will stop at nothing to win this race. And I think that that has sort of displayed itself to the other teams. And I think it sort of inherently makes the other teams not like, I think somebody is the person who brings it into the game, into the season. And it's good. I like to have that as a viewer into that season. I think at the point where we're seeing where Justin and Diana are talking to Team Motherboy about, hey, don't tell anybody this deal. Like, and then, you know, Motherboy goes over and tells Team Texas about what's going on. And it's like, hey, what happened to our deal? You blew up our deal. And then it's starting to be exposed that one person is already making deals with other people. And then when you're left out of those deals, I think it starts to become, well, we just want to beat this team. And it sort of incentivizes not just, hey, we want to come in first. We also want to beat this team in particular. And we saw back in the first episode where there was that moment where Team Texas was on whatever they were, like, what were they on, water skis or whatever?
And water bikes.
They were having difficulties, and then, you know, the Green Team ended up blowing past them and sort of like made like a little comment. And I think that that also probably was more fuel for this fire, which hopefully is going to continue burning for a while.
Yeah, I think a good feud can drive a season pretty far.
Yeah, I love it.
I think you summed it up pretty well. And I will be really interested to see. There have been a lot of feuds in Amazing Race history that end up being really one-sided. And I want to see how Justin and Diana react to this knowledge that there's a team that is gunning for them hard. Like, is it going to bother them, or are they just going to be like, yeah, all right, enjoy yourself. We're going to see you at the mat when you check in second place.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very heated rivalry between two teams that look like they're both going to be real powerhouses in the race. So that should be a lot of fun at the top of the power rankings week after week. Talk about this leg of the Amazing Race. Did CBS just have fantastic luck to have an episode of the Amazing Race here with centered around a lot of Pope Francis stuff on the week following his visit to the United States?
Well, I think I can't remember how far out we knew that Pope Francis was coming, because I don't think it was. I think this is just a great coincidence. And I'm sure someone can chime in to correct me on this, but it seems like we didn't really know he was doing the U.S. visit until fairly late in the summer. So maybe it's just like serendipity.
A miracle, you might say.
Yes, a miracle. I don't know. I think like this Pope, you know, he's got a lot of personality. And I think there, regardless of whether or not there was a papal visit that just happened, he was a good person to throw in there, especially since they've been to Buenos Aires a few times. So they need to find new angles, and this is a very new angle for them.
Could they have gotten the Pope to stand on the mat with Phil?
I don't think that they could have gotten him. He's kind of a busy guy.
I hear he'll meet with anybody, though.
I hear that people can get rumors out on the internet that they met with him, but I'm not sure if it's true that he'll meet with anybody.
Team TMZ is reporting that a bunch of teams met with the Pope after this leg of the race.
He had a private audience and he told them how well he thought they were racing.
He said they were doing really good.
It was doing really great.
Hang in there, cousins. Yeah. So we visit the church in which this was the church where he was born. What was this church?
He was not born in a church, Rob. He was baptized in the church.
I mean, if any baby is going to grow up to be the Pope, you would think a baby born in a church would be off to a great start, right?
I think he was only figuratively born to the church.
Yes. So that might be just apocryphal that Pope Francis was born in a church.
I think that is apocryphal, and I think you're spreading internet rumors about the Pope, Robin. Haven't we had enough of those this week?
All right, sorry about that. So the teams had to get down to Argentina to get to the church, and we ended up with our detour of statue or recycle. And I felt like most of the teams, they went with recycle, but to me, to my untrained eye, Jess, I thought statue seemed like the much more straightforward and easy task.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I was shocked that everybody wanted to recycle.
Well, recycling's hip. People like to recycle.
Yeah, I heard that Buenos Aires likes to recycle as much as Edmonton does.
Wow, yes. How is that even possible, Jess?
I don't know. Like, I think they're going to have a recycling competition, like International Recycling Olympics of some sort.
So the teams that chose recycle had to go and find 100 kilograms of cardboard. And I actually did the conversion on that. That's 220 pounds of cardboard. That is an incredible amount of cardboard that the teams had to find. Now, could you have any teams like they're finding this cardboard in the garbage? Like if you had somehow, say, like found wet cardboard, would that have been more advantageous? Like, isn't that going to be heavier? Like, if you're going through this dumpster and you find, like, a bottle of water in there, could you pour that out on your cardboard?
Well, your cardboard would probably fall apart if you did that. And then you have to, like, wrangle it. And it's huge mess.
It's my paper mache cardboard. Here, weigh it.
You get, like, sticky cardboard all over yourself. And then you got to run the rest of the race covered in, like, wood pulp.
Well, I think that that's probably not as bad as what some of the other teams were covered in after going through the dumpster looking for the cardboard. I have to say, Ernest and Jin, is that, I want to make sure I get these.
Yes.
Still learning the team names. Ernest and Jin, those guys are soundbite gold. This was Ernest when they were going into that dumpster.
Oh, woo, there's doo-doo in here.
Yeah. I was nervous for those guys. I really, all three of those teams that were in the mix at the end of the race, the dancers, the track stars, the cousins, I didn't want any of them to go.
Yeah, they're all three great personalities. They're all have the potential to add a lot to this race. So it was upsetting to see them at the back of the pack like that.
No, I do have to say, with all of these teams that are left in the race, I don't think there's anybody that I'm really rooting against. I think this is a well-cast season. I feel like, I didn't want to see the cousins go home. But even these nine teams that are left, I don't think that there's a dud team that's, like, super boring that doesn't have a storyline that we're watching this season.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Everybody seems to have a lot of potential. And you know me, Rob, I don't actively root against anybody.
Because that's not what I heard, Jess.
That gets me in trouble, and it compromises the integrity of the podcast.
We don't want that.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah. So the teams are running around to do the cardboard. I mean, does the Amazing Race, like, put... It seems like there was a lot of similar pieces of cardboard in these dumpsters. Does production go around, and do they stuff cardboard in? Like, how would they know? I mean, how many teams did that recycle task? Was it, like, what, 8 teams, 9 teams? I mean, that would be, 1,800 pounds of cardboard in nearby receptacles?
Yeah, I thought that looked really suspicious when they were pulling out these, like, huge bales of what looked like pristine cardboard. I mean, were they seeding the cardboard bins here?
I mean, I think they must have. I mean, I don't have an issue with it either. Like, I mean, they have to come up with 1,800 pounds of cardboard.
And I think I would have been interesting to see what had happened. Like, it looked like they were hinting at this when the track stars rolled up and they couldn't find a cart. It seemed like they were hinting at the idea that there might be a finite amount of cardboard in the area that they could cover. And I thought that would have been interesting if you had somebody out on the course who was bringing up the rear and everybody else had taken all the cardboard, so they were out of luck. I think that would have been interesting to see.
It seemed like, and so we only had the one team that did the statue task, correct? We only had the newscasters did the statue task. Do you think that, was that just like really far away? It seemed like that it did not take long. It seemed like it was easy, but they didn't really pick up a lot of time.
Yeah, it seemed like maybe there was a component of self-navigation to that, which I think might have turned a couple of the teams off. Because it's not an easy city to navigate. There's a lot of traffic. There were a lot of variables that you couldn't control, whereas I think the cardboard one seemed a lot more straightforward.
It was a night where we also started to see some internal conflict also emerge. Specifically, looked like Team Paparazzi, not Paparazzi, but Logan and Chris, even though they had a good week overall, it looked like there could be some tension there. We could see some more blow-ups between Logan and Chris this season.
Yeah, and that also seemed kind of immediate. Like, it was like somebody flipped a switch and all of a sudden they were mad at each other and you didn't even see really why.
Yeah, well, it was that she wanted to do the other detour. She wanted to do the statue detour and he wanted to do cardboard.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't always get what you want, Rob.
You can't always get what you want. But it was a little bit of a battle, but it seems like I like that also. You know, we want our external conflict with the teams. We want them to fight with each other. But then we also want there to be infighting with the teams as well. And it looks like we got a little bit of that tonight. It looks like more of that is on the way next week, which also gets me excited.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if everybody is a united front and they're their own little discrete unit, that's less fun. So, yeah, I do want to see people not getting along and testing their relationship and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more of that.
So after the cardboard and the statue detour, we ended up with spending the whole second half of the episode doing the tango, and it was the tango that defied gravity. It could have been a tango and crash for some of these teams. Luckily, nobody was seriously hurt, Jess.
Yeah, I think they were taking some pretty good safety protocols there, but that was a really neat spin on the tango, because when you go to Argentina, that's like the first thing you think of. There's going to be a tango task, and they've had plenty of those before. So they needed to think of a new way to do it. And I thought this was really clever. It looked like it was difficult. It was physically tasking, and it was also kind of your favorite type of thing to challenge these teams of the Fratty Dude Bros.
Yeah, well, you know there's going to be at least a couple of these during the season where there's some sort of choreography, and I feel like that's always the thing. That's sort of the iceberg there for those male teams that prevents some of these dude bros from just, you know, beasting through the course where they get hung up. And Team Texas did look like they spent a lot of time, but they ultimately ended up going like from first to fourth in the time that it took them to get it right while Tanner was doing it over and over and over again. Jess, did you feel like they should have gotten into the discussion of the express pass at any point?
I don't think this was the time to do it. They had a lot of teams behind them. They weren't even in the back half at that point.
So how many teams do you have to have pass you before you say, hey, let's use the express pass?
I think when you get to the point where there are fewer than three teams behind you, that's when you got to think about that pass.
Okay. So it's really,
you want to leave a cushion, but you don't want to burn it off too early because who knows what's coming up next.
Okay. You just don't want to John and Jessica it though.
Exactly. You really don't want to do that. And I don't think they were ever going to be in any danger. Like that was not an impossible task. It was just harder for them than it was for other people. But let me ask you this, Rob.
Yes.
Was there any point at which you thought one of these teams might five-hole it?
Well, it did seem like we had a lot of teams that had dance in their background between Ernest and Jane and the cheerleaders, and it looked like, oh, okay, they're very excited about this. Maybe we're going to see a team have one of Jessica's patented five holes when a team struggles with the task that is somehow associated with their profession. But no, both of the dancing teams and dancing adjacent teams really ace this.
Yeah, they were in and out, and I was like, okay. especially you get the talking head about, well, this is something I do for a living. This is exactly what I was excited to see. And then they did great at it. That was kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, if anything, I thought the Track Stars were going to be the team that was going to struggle with it after. I'm not sure if it was Jasmine or if it was Danielle who was talking about how, like, oh, this is perfect for us because you have to have a strong core. And if you don't have strong abs, then you're going to, you know, have a hard time standing up on this wall. And then I felt like it was a little messed up that production then cut to the cousins. Cut to, who was it, Adam that was doing it?
I think it was Alex that did it. Let me look at my notes.
Alex was on his second attempt.
Yeah, he was the one. He was not good with heights, and he was a little bit nervous about that. But yeah, that was a little cheap.
Yeah, a little bit of a. They went right to like smash cut. Like, if you don't have good abs, you're gonna have a hard time with this. Like, cut to Alex.
Yeah, that was.
Know what they're trying to say? Those guys look like they're in they're pretty slim. Those guys.
Yeah. Hey, I heard that Alex was a champion wrestler, so they're not strangers to athleticism. And I thought that I didn't see them struggling all that much with it.
No, they got it on their second attempt.
Yeah. It was very strange to me. Like, yeah, I think there was just like the editors trying to craft a narrative, and I'm not buying it.
So ultimately, I mean, where did they fall behind? Did they struggle with the task of finding the cardboard?
Yeah, I think they were just out of the airport a little bit later than everybody else, and they got to the detour a little bit later than everybody else. There were kind of two waves of people that got to that detour, and they were in that second wave, and they just kind of bled time gradually over the course of the episode. They weren't the first ones out of the roadblock. And then I think what really killed them was not knowing exactly which entrance to take when they got to the polo grounds, because that's a huge complex.
Yeah, everybody and was so bunched up in this episode. It was really hard to tell who was doing poorly in the task and who ultimately like was all close together. I mean, even the Track Stars, they seemed like they were in dead last. And I didn't even understand how what had happened to them to get them so far back.
Yeah, I don't think I did either. The only thing I can think of is that they were the very last people to show up at the detour, and they must have bled a lot of time trying to find that.
It seemed like finding a cab was also especially difficult in this episode. It seemed like the only people that got cabs easily was when another team jumped out of their cab and another team took over a cab from the other teams. I mean, was there anything that's really to that in terms of finding these cabs?
Well, that's inexplicable to me, Rob, because there's really the only place that I've ever been there where it's easier to get a cab than in Buenos Aires is New York City.
Hmm.
Like they have, you might have noticed at the top of the cab it says radio taxi. And what that means is that you can go into any business and have them call, like ask for a radio taxi. They will call and one will show up, but they also take street hails. And it just seemed very strange to me that they're having so much trouble because we never had trouble street hailing a cab.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. Maybe it was there was a big celebration of the Pope. All the cabs were busy.
Maybe, but and can we also talk about the fact that one of these cabs wouldn't take U.S. dollars, which that blew my mind because in Argentina, people prefer it if you give them U.S. dollars because their rate of inflation is so high that you know the Argentine peso is worth something different every day, and so. We would get in cabs and they'd be like, oh, you're American. Do you have any U.S. dollars? And you're like, well, yes, we do. And, you know, we made it rain and it was awesome.
So, wow, made it rain on the cab driver.
I'm saying.
I can't believe that these cab drivers are kicking you out of the cabs when you're making it rain U.S. dollars.
Nobody kicked us out of a cab in Argentina.
That's not.
Am I going to have to come up with a cab story for every single leg of this race now?
Yes. I like that on Twitter, somebody called you out so that they've never been kicked out of a cab.
Yeah, well, they're lucky.
They're one of the lucky ones. Count your blessings.
One of the lucky ones, yeah.
So there was a couple teams that I felt like did not really get a ton of screen time tonight. I felt like Team Chack Attack, I felt like they were, we saw them at Tango and that was it.
Yeah. And in these early legs, that happens to a lot of teams. Like, if they're not going to be at the front of the pack or the back of the pack, then you're not going to see them at all. Like, you'll get a little glimpse of them to be like, yeah, remember this team? They're still here. They didn't fall off the face of the planet. But, you know, there's still 20 people that they have to keep track of this leg. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do that.
And then Tiffany and Krista, I feel like we hardly saw them at all either up until the point that we got to the tango leg. And Krista was in love with doing the tango.
Yeah. Well, tango is awesome. Like, I don't even dance and I love the tango. So,
can you tango?
A little bit. Like, we've taken a couple of lessons. But, like, I know the basic steps. I'm not very good.
Wow. So you would think you would be okay in this task?
I think I could figure it out.
If you gave me 6 years, I would not have been able to complete this task.
All right. Well, I would
believe it or not.
Right.
Believe it or not.
I'm shocked, Rob.
So the teams ultimately go through the tango. It seems like there's not too many struggles outside of Tanner. He's really the person who starts to struggle the most. But we end up with this big foot race. We see Justin and Diana. They end up coming in first place. They're very excited. Did we have last week the emergence of their t-shirt of This Time It's Real?
Yeah, I had not seen the This Time It's Real shirt last time.
Look, that should be the hashtag, right? I feel like that's a better hashtag than Team Green.
You would think so, but I'm sure that they brought their own hashtags and the hashtags got vetoed. That seems to happen to someone all the time.
Well, sorry about that. Sorry about that, Team This Time It's Real.
Yeah, Team Be Happy, Keep Moving.
So they end up coming in first. So we end up with this big climactic showdown, a foot race for second place. And we have that between who's there. That's Team Texas. That is Mother Boy and Logan and Chris, right? Are they right in the mix?
And yeah, they're in the mix.
They're in the mix. And so there's this big foot race in Team Texas. They've got a beast past Mother Boy. And ultimately, we see that they get to the mat. They won the battle, but did they potentially lose the war? As I believe Tanner seemed like he blew out his hamstring. And as a sports fan, this is where I base all of my, I've been lucky enough not to ever pull a hamstring, Jess. That involves like running around and stuff like that. But in terms of what I see in sports, I know if any of the players on the teams I root for, they say, oh, pulled a hammy. I know they're done for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, this could be problematic, and I think they're going to feel really, really stupid if he pulled a hamstring and it cost them the race because he wanted to get second place over a 51-year-old woman.
Now, in fairness to Team Texas, they don't know ultimately that they're playing for second place and they're trying to get a prize, I guess.
Because do they? Because they saw Justin and Diana leave considerably before they did.
Well, you could always say that Justin and Diana could have gotten lost. Like, it wasn't like it was a foregone conclusion that Justin and Diana had already won. It wasn't like they were standing on the mat. So you could certainly envision a scenario where Justin and Diana got lost and never made it to the mat.
I suppose so, but I'm not sure. Like, I know I'm not getting eliminated. I'm not necessarily going to sprint it out if I am not certain that, you know, if I'm not 100% that I'm going to get first place if I win this sprint, I'm not going to sprint.
Yeah, I also think that it's potentially the kind of thing that could get you a U-turn. Isn't that the kind of thing that's going to piss off some of these teams where if you have to blow past them to get to the mat to get ahead of them? I mean, I know if it's for first, I mean, maybe it's worse if it's for first and you like screw another team out of a prize. But if it's for second place, for third place, doesn't that come off as looking very petty? And isn't that the kind of thing that maybe Mother Boy says down the road? Like, why don't we U-turn Team Texas? That really rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I could see them being, you know, feeling a little bit like that was very unnecessary. And kind of, you know, if you want to get that team out, like that's already going to be a team with a big U-turn target on their backs. Just because they look so strong on their face and they seem pretty driven and they're cultivating these rivalries. So I could definitely see Mother Boy coming down on the U-turn.
And Denise and James are really, really, that's a fun team for me to watch. Denise really has also been TV gold for me. I like this when she said this tonight.
Amazing! You came out of my belly! Woo!
Is that do we learn there that that James came into the world via a C-section?
I tried not to think too hard about that. That seems like something that's, you know, between a mother and a son. But I agree. She's got such a great spirit, and they've been really, really fun to watch. I'm almost dreading next week because I know they're going to start to yell at each other a little bit. And I never, you know, I like them both. I don't want to see them mad at each other.
Yeah, Jess, I was worried about them tonight because I saw in the edit, like early on, we started talking about, like, again, we were rehashing the coming out story and how they grew apart. I'm like, uh-oh, this is bad news for Team Denise and James.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if they brought out the baby photos, that would have been our cue to be like, yeah, they're out of here.
Yeah, the baby photos.
Amazing! You came out of my belly!
What a great quote.
That's a fantastic quote. You should go see how it goes over if you use that on Dominic in front of Nicole.
So you want me to say to him, I made you, you came out of my belly?
I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that. I'm just thinking of more things you can Snapchat.
Yeah, Jess, I don't need more things to get me in trouble at my house. That I really like. I think you always do. I was in trouble when I left. I came back, and it wasn't long before I was in trouble again. Not good.
I think you do. I think you always do.
I don't need any help. Thank you very much.
All right. I'm not very good help anyway.
Yeah. So ultimately, we had a Justin Diane at the top, and then a now injured Team Texas here. Do you think that this will ultimately be a problem going forward for Team Texas? Are we looking at a potential Dave and Connor situation, who also had where Dave injured himself back a few seasons ago trying to get to the mat in a sprint?
Sprinting to the mat at leg two, I believe.
Uh-oh. The curse of Dave is back.
Oh, no. Yeah, you know, are they going to find themselves rapidly aging overnight?
Like they drank from the wrong...
from the wrong grail.
Yes.
They chose poorly.
You got the Dave Achilles heel.
I'm totally, as soon as we get off of this podcast, I'm Photoshopping this.
Okay.
Putting Dave's face on the grail night.
But do you think that this will ultimately be a major setback? Is this potentially a game-ending setback for Team Texas?
I worry that it might be, because I know from having talked to many of the racers, like when you talk to them in the exit interviews where we interview them, or when I'm just like hanging out with them at parties and stuff, I know that But having spoken to a lot of racers between the two of us, we know that there are many, many injuries that happen on this race that we never get to see. And some of it is just people like kind of exaggerating, you know, I skinned my knee, so that was why we didn't win. If I hadn't done that, we would have won. But a lot of it is people hurt themselves and they don't say anything about it, and it doesn't necessarily end up playing into the story.
Okay, so Jessica, if I'm reading between the lines, I believe what you're saying is that this is Chekhov's hamstring.
Chekhov's hamstring. Damn Skippy.
Wow. So you feel like, could they have hidden that in the edit? I mean, he does sort of pull up lame, and he does say my hamstring, like, and Phil does ask him about it at the mat. You think that if it wasn't going to be a factor, you think that they would not have even shown anything of it? I mean, isn't that at least a good TV moment?
It is a pretty good TV moment, and I think it might have been a hard edit to make to get that piece out of it. But I think what we will see one of two things happening at the beginning of the next leg. Like, we're going to see them getting ready to take off at the beginning of the episode, and we're going to see him saying, "Oh, I hurt my hamstring when I was running up the mat the previous time, and so I got to be really careful with it today." And then later in the leg, it's going to come up again. Or we're going to see like medical checking it out at the beginning and being like, yeah, you're fine to race.
Okay. So we'll see. And you think that they are going to just try to rub some dirt on it, try to move forward, but it's going to be something that's going to potentially hold them back?
Yep. Hashtag walk it off.
All right. I got to write it down. Okay. Who impressed you tonight, Jess?
Who impressed me tonight? Obviously Justin and Diana, because they managed to beat out what looked like on their face to be a much stronger team. I thought what little we saw of Chack Attack was impressive. We really, at the front of the pack, we didn't see a lot of people. I thought Kelsey and Joey made a great decision to go after the other detour, because it frequently happens, like more often than not, people that pick that other detour when everyone else is doing the other one end up kind of making up some time on that.
Did you feel like that they were headed for disaster? I felt like a little bit. It was a tough edit to read, because Joey's like in the back like, well, I'm just going to let Kelsey handle this. She's good with directions. I'll be back here with the torso and the legs and throwing them in the bucket.
Well, I was more worried that something was going to happen to the torso and legs.
Yeah, it almost made it seem like, oh, they left something in the van. But no, everything went off without a hitch.
Or something's going to break.
Yeah, something was going
to, you know,
leave something behind.
Yeah, or like, you know, just kind of trail shards of broken statuary the entire way back to the garden.
But, terrible. What a disaster. Yeah. What a disaster. Let's go back to Ernest and Jin, who I love these guys. They're my favorite team, I think, or at least for TV. They're the funniest team. But I don't understand why they're in 10th place. I don't know what they're doing. What I liked about them coming into the season was I really love the hustle on these guys. I love the drive. And they're talking about, we can't lose. We'll go back and then we have to sleep in our car. But I just feel like I'm not seeing that hustle on the race. Like, I don't feel like these guys are playing so far like a team that's going to go back to living in their car.
Yeah, because I think, here's the thing, Rob. I don't think these guys are racing to win. I think they're racing to be on television.
Well, to speak to that point, what was this about, this scene when they were getting ready to go to Argentina?
Hi, welcome to the airport. Travel safe.
Yeah.
What was that about?
I was hoping they were like shooting a new TSA video, because I would watch that.
Like, I don't even understand what they were doing.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. It was entertaining. I liked that bit. But yeah, I think as much as they talk about how they're doing this to like improve their lives and to not be homeless anymore, they're not here to win $1 million.
Are you saying that they are trying to be the author of their own fate, that they're putting forth this narrative? This narrative is coming from them more so than from the show?
I think the show asks the right leading questions, but I do think they have also, this is not their first reality show, Rob.
Oh, you think that's a smoking gun?
Ernest is already preparing for another reality show that will be his fourth.
Fourth reality show?
Yeah.
Amazing Race All-Stars? Give me the IMDb. What are his credits?
Well, he was on by himself. He was on So You Think You Can Dance.
Okay. I knew
he's
that.
Been on two different seasons of that.
Does that count as two shows? That counts as two shows?
No.
Okay.
This is two different seasons. I don't watch So You Think You Can Dance, but it looks like they have sort of a Hollywood round like they have on American Idol. And he made it to that, but he didn't make the finals either time. And he did some really amazing work. And I definitely recommend everybody check it out, because he's incredibly talented. And then he and Jin were both on America's Best Dance Crew.
Okay.
And I believe that one of the things Ernest does is he is a dance coach at a studio in Vermont. And he brought one of his troops that he coaches to audition for America's Got Talent, but I don't believe they made it onto the show. And now he is training to be on American Ninja Warrior.
American Ninja Warrior. Wow.
Yeah. So it's an impressive reality TV resume. And I think their ideal outcome is not necessarily win the Amazing Race and get $1 million. I think it's to have a good showing on the Amazing Race so that someone calls us up and give us our own TV show.
Yeah. Or at least they can get that job welcoming people to the airport.
Hi, welcome to the airport. Travel safe.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, tangentially related to this, if you ever have occasion to fly into Glacier Park International Airport in Western Montana, they have the most amazing TSA safety video. And it's these three like old fat guys in Hawaiian shirts singing to the tune of La Cucaracha about like what you can and can't put on the conveyor belt. And it's fabulous.
Okay.
So I recommend you check that out.
I will put that on my bucket list, Jess.
Yep.
To go see that. And any jingle set to La Cucaracha. I'm a big Ian Ziering fan, so anything that I can hear set to that song.
There you go.
Set to that melody. I'll get myself a Limerita right after this. All right. Who did not impress you tonight besides Ernest and Jin?
Well, it was really hard to tell. I don't think anybody did anything, you know, overtly boneheaded. I really thought that a lot of it just came down to bad timing because this was one of those legs where everybody's really smashed in together.
Yeah.
That said, I do think I didn't like the way that Chris and Logan were talking to each other.
You think after. There's problems?
I think this is a sign of things to come.
Mm. I think so too. I think that they could be our bickering couple this season.
They could be. I thought it was going to be the Chacks, and I think the greeter at the mat thought it was going to be the Chacks, but yeah. I don't think it is. I think it might be the paparazzi.
I think that Chack Attack, I think they seem like they might be the team where he's sort of domineering, but I don't think she's going to push back. Sort of yeah, like the Jim and Misty type situation.
I don't know. He doesn't strike me as that intense.
Well, when they were doing the puzzle back in the first episode, like mm-hmm. she was making some suggestions and he was like, no, I got this. And so, and she wasn't really pushing back. And not necessarily that is what you should do. But I feel like if that was Logan and Chris, I feel like that would have been a blow up there.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay. So we'll see ultimately what's going to happen with those teams coming up on next week. Anything else about this episode before we get to the questions, Jess?
I think we're knocking it out of the park in the greeter department this season.
Yeah.
We're two for two here. That guy was great.
Well, what did you like so much about last week's greeter? That she was cute?
I liked that she was kind of fielding these comments about her appearance. Like, there's a lot of extra clips of them chatting with her, and she's very personable, and she's very fun.
Okay. And what did you like about tonight's greeter?
I liked that he had editorial comments to make, and I liked that he danced the tango with Krista. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure. He was fun.
Did we witness the best moment of the season for Krista and Tiffany tonight?
No, there's more to come.
There's higher highs on the horizon.
Higher highs. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll see. We'll see. She did do one hell of a tango.
She did.
She did. All right.
And Jess. She was so pumped up at getting to dance. Like, that was fun.
Yes. So let's go ahead and get into some of our questions. This is from Thomas M. Sevi, who says, so happy they did away with the selfies. Have they ever had such a solemn setting on Amazing Race? I guess we're talking about what, the church?
Yeah, this is not even cracking the top 10 of solemn settings on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, let's go back to the selfie part of it. Are you happy they stopped doing the selfies this season?
Yeah. Yeah, the selfies were taking away from the show.
Yeah.
And it was a fun idea once, but the fact that they couldn't get anybody to product place it. Like, if you got Samsung to give them selfie cams and be like, I'm going to use my Samsung selfie cam, then it at least had a purpose on the race side of things.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I think that the selfie thing is sort of played out, but I do like the idea of teams like doing their own sort of confessional and things like a Snapchat where you could just sort of like, you know, talk to the camera. I know not everybody would do it, but I feel like that you might get some good stuff from teams like as they're going along, sort of like Blair Witch, like just talking about what they're like. Oh, I hope we don't lose this race. I'm so really nervous. Like, I feel like that might be an interesting storytelling device.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't like shaky cam. I wish they'd just never do it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to another question. George Y says, would the track stars have put themselves in a safer position had they switched detours when they saw all the carts were taken? Jess, what's the right call there? You get to a task. There are no carts. Do you try to wait it out? Do you go try to look for carts or do you switch immediately?
That was something I wondered a lot about, too. Like, I have to imagine that the other task was far enough away that they worried that they were going to lose time, especially since they knew one other team had already gone to do that task. So I think they probably weren't there very long before they figured out how to get a cart. Like, I think that was kind of played out for time. Like, they got there, no carts. What do we do? Look around for carts. Oh, there's a cart. I think that's literally all the time it took.
Yeah. Okay. And we don't know how far away the statue task was.
Right. Right. I've got a question, actually.
Go for it.
Because the great AJ Mass had a question. Actually, his son had a question.
Yeah, AJ Mass's son is a big Amazing Race fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's got a lot of good questions, too. He wanted to know if they made the task tell the driver where to go rather than drive yourself in order to accommodate Alex and Adam.
What would accommodate that?
I guess they might have difficulty driving, but I don't think they're not super, super short. They're like 5 feet tall.
Yeah, I think that they would be fine in terms of driving.
I think it was tell the driver where to go rather than drive yourself, because traffic in that city, like Buenos Aires, has some of the worst drivers in the world.
Wow.
And they also have like this redonkulous 8-lane thoroughfare going through the middle of the city, and people take traffic lights and signs as kind of mere suggestions.
Yeah.
So I would not want to drive in the middle of downtown Buenos Aires, and I'm sure that the race did not want to take on the liability of that either.
Right. And it's hard to get these Fords all over the world in different places.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that Argentina has its fair share of Fords. We might see them next week. It looks like they're not leaving Argentina, but I think they're getting out of the city.
Okay. Let's go to I'm drunker than Steve Moses. He wants to say, anyone else want Diana to fail the roadblock just to shut Justin up? Well, I'm drunker than Steve Moses, rooting hard against the Green Team. Maybe they're big Team Texas fans.
I knew these guys were going to be polarizing.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get a lot of this. I feel like these guys are almost analogous. They're almost like the Shireen of the Amazing Race. Like, they come on, they're huge fans, and they're not, like, immediately TV friendly. They've got kind of, you know, big grating personality that's not going to be everybody's piece, you know, everybody's cup of tea. I foresee a lot of fan love and a lot of fan backlash for these guys.
Okay. You got to take both things. You got to take both things. You want to be
the good, you take the bad.
Be a strong personality. You know, you can't buckle under you're going to have your haters and you're going to have your lovers, but that is ideally where you want to be. Tough to be universally loved on one of these shows.
Yeah. Well, you know what the great philosopher Taylor Swift says, Rob? The hater's going to hate.
Yes. I believe I have heard that. So let's go to Alec DeBaum. Man, it's just the beginning. I think this is the best opening to a season for The Amazing Race in years. Could this possibly be the best cast the race has ever had? Thoughts, Rob and Jessica? Jess, I know. Is this blasphemy to say that Amazing Race 27 is the best cast they have ever had on The Amazing Race?
Too soon to tell, man. Way too soon to tell. It's a very, very good cast. I will definitely give it that.
Okay.
Like, I don't, you know, like we said, we don't see any teams that were sitting there like, oh yeah, that's a team they cast just because they needed 11.
Right. So in terms of the last couple of seasons, where does this rank for you in, say, the last 4 or 5 seasons?
Well, I would say I think 25 might be our gold standard.
We really liked 25.
We really liked 25. And, you know, 23 had a couple of dud teams, but they also had some really amazing teams.
Yeah, that was fun.
And, yeah, 22 had kind of a large contingent of teams that kind of never really grabbed us.
Mm-hmm.
And last season, I think, is really hard to compare to the other seasons just because it was such a strange dynamic. And we had some good teams, but we also had a lot of teams where it was just like, what exactly are these guys offering us?
Yeah.
Because it was all that young dating couple team that's really hard to distinguish themselves. So I would say this cast has a potential to be as good as 23 and maybe as good as 25.
It does seem like the times that they have not gone with a gimmick in these last couple, like, they know how to cast the show. They get into like, oh, we need to make it sexy. We need a gimmick here. Let's get blind dates. Let's bring back all stars. Those have been the seasons that haven't been good.
Yeah. Don't fool with the formula, Lynn Spillman.
Yeah. Okay. Is The Amazing Race like the Star Trek movies? Is it like, or is the opposite of Star Trek movies? We like the odd number seasons.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Like, I have thought about that. And when people ask me what my favorite seasons are, they are almost always the odd-numbered seasons. So I don't know what that says about me.
The fall seasons.
Yeah.
All right. George Wise, also, I wonder, you know, the fall seasons come after a longer hiatus also. And then the spring season is sort of like, so maybe like more applicants come in between the like end of the previous season and the start. So they have a longer time to cast the fall season than the spring season potentially.
Potentially, although I think they take about the same amount of time with both, because I know they're going to film the next season in December, like November, December. And I know they started casting before this season started.
Okay. George Wise says, was the greeter's comment to Cindy and Rick foreshadowing for their storyline on The Amazing Race? Well, what did the greeter say to Cindy and Rick?
Well, Phil pointed out that they are newlyweds, and he's like, I hope they'll be happy for a while. And he's like, they'll be happy for a short time.
Oh.
Like, oh, snap, greeter. Nobody asked you.
Now, was that based on his knowledge of The Amazing Race or based on his knowledge of marriage?
Something might have gotten lost in translation. Like, he could have been saying something idiomatic about being together forever, or maybe he's just saying that once the bloom is off the rose, they'll still have a stronger bond. It was really hard to tell.
Is that an Argentinian parable? Marriage lasts forever, but happiness is short-lived?
I don't know. I have no idea, but the married couples I've met in Argentina seemed pretty happy.
Yeah,
I did get engaged in Uruguay, not in Argentina. So, you know, if there's a curse there, I'm not going to be part of it.
Yes. You know, I have spent a few weeks in Argentina myself.
Yes, you went to Patagonia, right?
Yes. Yes.
You went to Patagonia with Rudy.
Yes, and Tina.
Yes.
And it was not a happy time. I was not happy even for a short while when I was there.
I heard Richard Hatch had a great time in Argentina.
He did. He met his husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
They're still together, so.
Yeah. There's
love in Argentina. There you go. That's what you know about marriage in Argentina.
Yes. I don't know, but are they happy? Alex G says, do you think we'll see more dancing challenges, or will this be the only one? Last season of US and Canada each had lots of them. Do you think we'll see more dancing?
I think Amazing Race has caught on to the fact that dancing challenges can be kind of a big equalizer. When you have a lot of really physical challenges, there's kind of certain teams that rise to the top that aren't necessarily, we've talked about this a lot. So the kinds of teams that would be really strong in other types of legs aren't always the strongest when it comes to the dancing challenges. So I can see why we've seen a lot more of them lately.
Yeah. Do you like them? Are they good TV, the dancing challenges?
Almost always.
Yeah. Especially when there's like one team that can't get it. It really is pretty good.
Yeah. And it's
about the Mark and Bopper syndrome.
Yeah. The best is when one team is not getting it so much so that you yourself figure out the dance before they do on the screen.
Well, that has not happened to me.
That's happened to me a couple of times.
Yeah. Wow. So how did they pick the partners on the tango? It seemed like it was like first come, first serve with these partners.
I think it actually might have had something to do with strength, because it looked like the actual dance partner had to do a lot as far as like supporting the weight of the racer. So I think that might have been the reason you had a lot of guys dancing with guys, and then you had like the cheerleader dancing with the female dancer.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that was because they had a lighter person paired with the lighter person and the heavier person paired with someone who could support the weight.
Okay. All right. John Johnston wants to know, do the racers know that alliances don't work on The Amazing Race? This is Survivor. Jess, would you be so bold as to say alliances don't work on The Amazing Race?
I don't think I would be so bold as to say they don't work. I would say they are not an integral component of racing, and I would say that if you're good enough, you can win without them. But I have seen cases where they help people. It's just when people get so up in their head about, you know, I'm with this person, I'm not with this person. There's only like 3 or 4 points where that's useful on the race. It's not like Survivor, and I think the people that come into it approaching it like Survivor have a hard time. But it's useful in some regard.
Are you better off to be part of an alliance, or are you better off like a green team, like a Justin and Diana, and to say, hey, you know, screw everybody. We're in this for ourselves and we have to win everything we can.
Well, I think you don't want to make it hard on yourself. I don't think you want to like court alliances, but I think this is kind of like Survivor. You don't want to go out courting the alliances and forming them yourself. But when everybody comes to you, approaching you and asking if you want to be in one, just say yes.
Right.
And just be nice to everybody.
Yeah, I feel like with The Amazing Race, I feel like you don't want to seek out those alliances. Just like with these survivors with the pregame alliances, I always say like, okay, well, you don't want to be the person making the phone call, but answer the phone if it
rings.
Exactly. And I think that you do want to sort of have a positive interaction with all these teams. You just don't want teams actively trying to screw you.
Yeah, that's the problem, I think, with kind of saying that you're going to be the lone wolf or the Ronin and kind of do your own thing, because that just says, I don't need you guys and I don't care about you guys. And in the end, it is a competition and everybody needs to keep that in mind. But there's also no reason to make enemies.
Yeah, it's a long competition too. And you don't have to, like, you know, burn your fuel to win leg two of the Amazing Race when, you know, you still have, what, 10, 11 legs to go?
Yeah. Well, and Alex G just reminded me of something. And the point that's being made here is a little bit different. But Justin and Diana are already starting at a disadvantage because they were on an entirely different flight from absolutely everybody else. And L.A. to Rio, like, I know New York to Rio is a 14-hour flight. So I would have to imagine they missed out on all that bonding that they could have had with the other teams. So
is there a lot of socializing on the plane?
I would imagine if you're on a flight with a bunch of people you know, if you're on a flight with 18 other people you know, yeah, you're going to talk to them on the flight. And you just, like, they don't film that, but it happens.
Yeah, they don't, like, separate them on the flight and let them, like, be not allowed to talk, like, in the moments, like, in something like Survivor, where, you know, if there's any sort of, like, off-camera thing that's going on, like, they shut it down. Nobody's allowed to talk during that time. But on The Amazing Race, you can just have, you know, whatever conversations you want to have with people.
Yeah, yeah. And they do a lot of talking to random citizens that are on the plane, too. Like, yeah, you get tips from people. You're like, well, I'm going to Buenos Aires. You live there. Where do you think they might send me? Like, what are some good landmarks? Like, how do I say I'm in a race and I need to go fast? Or how would I get to, like, what are the main thoroughfares? Like, that would be something I would want to try to do as much research as I could on the flight.
How do you say thoroughfare in Spanish?
I don't know. I would probably just say avenida. Okay.
Dan Loken wants to say, what are the pros and cons of telling a team entering a roadblock what the task is before they choose who does it if you're a team on the way out?
Well, see, this is where maybe an alliance comes into play. Maybe, like, not pissing someone off has them tell you, like, they're coming out, you're coming in. It doesn't really hurt them to say, oh, yeah, it's a dancing task and, you know, you dancing person should do it and not you person with two left feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one of the few instances where, you know, having friends on the show is going to help you.
And it also is nice that they don't tell you the wrong information because they hate you.
Yeah, well, that would only work once.
Right. But we've seen it happen before.
Oh, yeah. We've seen it happen before.
Yeah.
Like, but then it usually, like, they make a huge deal out of it.
You know, there was also another moment from this episode where we end up with Jasmine and Danielle. They're running and they're going to, like, try to run to the polo stadium. And they're saying, like, oh, but I don't have my shoes on. And she's like, I don't care. If we win the $1 million, I'll buy you new feet. Is that a good deal?
Well, not if she's got a track career. I mean, you know, they got to be really good feet. Is that going to cost more than $1 million?
Yeah, but couldn't you be like one of those, like, Blade Runners?
Like those Oscar Pistorius shoes?
Yeah.
No, that
could be
guy,
a whole different
soon.
Career.
Yeah, too soon.
Too soon. All right, let's do, what is it, one or two more questions. Yeah. Spicy Wasabi, pulling a hamstring is a big deal. Should Texans just use the express pass next leg to heal?
That's interesting.
Skip a leg to save a leg.
Well, they can't skip a whole leg. They can skip a task.
Skip part of a leg to save part of the leg.
We call that the Dave and Connor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so sure. I could see them. It depends. Like, I think they will last at least one more leg because they do have that advantage in their back pocket.
All right. I think that's a good move. You think use it or you think rub dirt on it?
It depends on how well the dirt works.
And if it's dirt in the first place or maybe...
Oh, woo! There's doo-doo in here.
Oh, no. And then finally,
we're gonna get
Chris
mileage
says,
out of that.
What happens when they knock over the motorcycle? Does protection take care of it? Yeah, it's like shades of like Pee-wee's Big Adventure when the cousins knocked over the motorcycles.
Yeah, I think.
Do they have to go into
probably,
the bar and do the tequila dance, the big shoe dance?
Well, we'll have to look at the bonus clips to see if anybody did the tequila dance. But I have a feeling production just kind of quietly takes care of that sort of thing. And we've seen it before where, like, they've been driving and somewhere and they've, like, rear-ended somebody and had to, like, pay them off.
Wow. Okay. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
All right, Jess. So we'll see what happens next Friday night. Looking forward to the season. Good season of The Amazing Race. Off to a good start.
Yes. Very good so far. I'm having a great time.
Having a good time. Chekhov's hamstring is the hashtag here tonight.
Yeah. And Chekhov, this is kind of an old school Amazing Race joke, because there was a whole task that hinged on people not being able to spell Chekhov. So Chekhov is C-H-E-K-H-O-V, guys.
Not like the person who was what was Chekhov's official title? What was he?
Was he the helmsman, or was Sulu the helmsman?
No, I think that's Sulu. I feel like he's more like sort of like an ops guy.
Yeah, he was like an ops guy, but he spelled it that way too.
Okay.
Pavel Chekhov and Anton Chekhov spell their names the exact same way.
Okay, so it's C-H-E-K-H-O-V?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Chekhov's hamstring, guys.
There you go. All right, so good show tonight, Jess. Good work.
Yes, great show, Rob.
You're in rare form this season.
High five.
You're locked in. There you go. All right. So, Jess, anything special coming up? We got the blog coming up for the Amazing Race?
Yep, got the blog coming up. And I am in Twitter talks, maybe not anything directly related to Amazing Race 27 at the moment, but I am in Twitter talks to have a conversation with a very, very special Amazing Race guest. And once I figure out if that's going to go through or not, I will let you guys all know. But you guys will be really excited if this comes through.
Wow, what a tease.
Yeah, I know. I'm the worst.
Very special, amazing race guest.
Yes.
All right. Can we guess in the comments?
You guys can. Well, I think if you're a patron, you probably already heard. So if you're not a patron, you can go ahead and guess in the comments.
All right. Can we just look at your Twitter feed to see who you're talking to?
You could probably look at my Twitter feed to see.
All right. If you want to start the investigation, go to at Haymaker Hattie on Twitter. I am at Rob Cesternino. We've got a lot more coming up because, Jess, we're talking again tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, we are. We're talking at noon tomorrow.
All right. Jess and I are going to be talking over on Post Show Recaps. We're starting a new weekly show about scripted TV with myself and Josh Wigler and Antonio Mazzaro. And this week we are going to be having Jess on as a guest to talk about the new Muppets TV series, which has now aired 2 episodes. Jess is a big Muppet file, and we will be talking about this new show and whether or not Jess likes it and whether we should be checking it out.
Yes, I have a lot of opinions.
Yeah, and we will be getting them. Jess, can I give a sneak preview of your opinion?
Oh, yes. Woo, there's doo-doo in here.
Is that true?
I'm not giving anything away, Rob.
No sneak previews. All right, so check that out. We're going to be actually live at noon Eastern on blab.im, which is another site I like to use to do streaming video and chat. It's a very interactive site. Now, we'll tweet out the link if you're following us to check that show out as well. Plus, I'm going to be doing our Survivor voicemails with Jim Rice this week, so I'll be recording that as well on Saturday after my travel back from New York after my trip to the airport this morning.
Hi, welcome to the airport. Travel safe.
Yes, I did. It was so nice. It was so nice. No baby on the plane with me today. I was just sat and was on my laptop the whole time. It was lovely.
That's beautiful. So whenever Ernest and Jin end up doing an exit interview with you, you're going to try to make them stay on the line and give you sound bites, right?
I'm just going to ask them leading questions for a sound bite.
I hope you do.
All right, so thanks so much. Looking forward to seeing what you guys have to say in the comments. And have a good one, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.